The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome everyone. It is me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. And for those of you who are new, no, it is not a radio name. It's my real name, and as I like to say, I learned to run as a kid because of that name. My dad was in the service, so we moved a lot, and I was a buck-toothed, dweeby, long-haired, doofus with last name Slick, so I got chased a lot. All right, having said all of that, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. What we do here on the show is answer questions about the Bible, about Christianity, Christian theism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity Baha'i, Islam, other isms and istics. And we have missionaries in Nigeria, which I want to talk about really fast, and also in Brazil, and in Colombia, and in Turkey. And we have a full-time guy in Salt Lake City, Luke Wayne, great guy. And also, my wife works for the ministry as well as me. It's a lot of stuff going on. And by the way, for those of you who are sincerely in support of this effort, would you please consider lifting up the people in Nigeria? And also, I'm finding out in Malawi and Zimbabwe, I think it is. The Muslims in Africa are being true to their faith. They're killing people. And when I say that, I don't say it to be mean. I can teach on what Islam actually says, and it actually talks about killing Christians and killing people and not making Christians as your friends. And it actually does. And I could talk about that, Asura 9, Asura 551, and things like this. So what's happening is that they're going into villages on motorcycles with guns, and they're attacking Christians and killing them on a regular basis all over Nigeria, and they're also spreading lies about Christianity. So I'm working on two tracks that are going to be trifold tracks, which we're going to get to them over there. And the trifold track, the first one I'm writing is titled, Is Christianity True? And I'm going through and I'm addressing some of the issues that the Muslims are saying, like the Bible's been corrupted, it's blasphemy to say that Jesus is God, the Trinity is three gods, and other things that they don't know what they're talking about. And that's interesting because when I talk to Muslims and I debate them, and I talk to them about various things, I'll tell them, I'll say, look, you don't want to misrepresent the Christian faith. You want to represent what we actually teach. And if I correct you and I teach you that, no, it's not our position, the Trinity is not three gods, for example, and you continue to say that it's three gods, then what you're doing is bearing false witness. And you can't do that. And I try and teach them about the truth and stuff like that. But so many of them don't even care. They just believe lies. And then they promote lies. But nevertheless, that's the first track I'm working on. And the second one I will be working on, probably starting tomorrow or tonight, is is Islam true? And no, it is not. I'm going to trash Islam. And I'm going to use the Quran and the Hadith to do that. And I'm going to show where the Quran says that if anything in it has a discrepancy at all, then Islam is false. The Quran is false. It's Surah 42. And I'm going to show where the Quran actually says things that are false. And it's demonstrably provable that it's false. And things like that, historical inaccuracies, biological inaccuracies, and things like this. And so, because it says that if one thing in the Quran is false, then it's not from Allah. I'm going to show that and show some other things and some problems with the theology. And we're going to I'll put this in a trifold track. That's going to be shipped over there as well. And they're going to distribute them. There's already a network of people in place who are going to be secretly, so to speak, distributing the information so the population can get it. Because if they're found out who's distributing it, the Muslims will try and kill them. I mean, you know, People say the Islam is a religion of peace. Well, it is, actually. It's a religion of peace, a piece of your arm, a piece of your leg. It's an evil religion. It's an anti-Christ religion. And I'm sorry, that's what it is. And I'm saying so. I say it publicly without any shame, without any concerns for the issue of truth. It is an evil religion, and I'd be glad to talk about it any time to anyone. Anyway, so there you go. Please pray for the people in Africa who are being slaughtered by the Muslims who use the Quran to justify their killing. Surah 9 in particular. All right, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want you to give me a call, and you can get in line, and we can blab. All right, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick.
Good evening.
My question is on the 1 Timothy 4:10 about demons. Mm-hmm. Was he really saved in the first place, or did he fall in the category of the second and
who?
Third
type
of soul?
Wait. Let's start over this again. What verse are you talking about?
1 Timothy 4:10.
Okay, and what's your question?
Mm-hmm. Was he really saved, or does he fall in the category on the gospel?
Demas. This isn't about Demas. This verse. That's why I'm confused. It's not about Demas. So if you want to go to Demas, it's 2 Timothy 4:10. It's okay, buddy.
Sorry, 2 Timothy.
It says, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Now, it doesn't say he is or is not saved. People can be saved and make some bad choices and serve their flesh for a while. They can be disciplined and come to repentance. So it doesn't say that, but it says he loves his present world and deserted me. The implication is he's not saved. But we can't say for absolute sure, but most probably he's not.
So, in other words, that this is, with Demas' category fall, and like the parable of the sowers, and the second soil, and the third soil?
Yes.
You know, with the weather was one of them two categories that he's fallen?
Yes.
So, where he first, Apostle Paul said he forsaken him, but he never said he forsaken the Lord, or was it a permanent thing he forsake?
That kind of a thing, yeah.
Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. So it's not a permanent thing. He just said forsaken him, but Apostle Paul didn't follow up on him when he left.
Right.
So we don't know for sure if he returned to
something
later on during his life.
Right. We don't know for sure, but if you love the world more than Jesus, that's not a good sign. That is a sign that you are not saved, you're not regenerate. But that's not to say that certain people who are Christians can't slide a little bit, unfortunately, and love some of the things of the world and then come back to repentance. And, you know, what was I thinking? You know, this kind of a thing. And that's, we can unpack that quite a bit. But for what it says here, he says, having loved this present world, he deserted me. Well, does it mean he's not saved?
What about a Christian attends church faithfully, physically, but yet his heart is towards the love, towards the things of the world still. He could be attending church faithfully and Sunday school and the Bible study, and still his heart is not. He just said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is away far from me. You can still be serving the world in your heart. And you know what I mean? And not
we need to
church, and you're still your.
I was going to say, we just need to judge each situation individually. I don't like saying all people who go to church but have their heart in some of the things of the world, therefore they're not Christians. I don't say that. Different people have different degrees of things. You could have someone who has recently been converted, is going to church, but still has a lot of worldly ideas. You could have someone who has been a Christian for a long time and has had a great deal of stress and strain in his or her life and is becoming more and more concerned for the things of the world. And it doesn't mean they're not Christian. So for an example, we know that our country is going to probably collapse because of the way the economy is going, the trillions of dollars in debt that we're under, the invasion from our southern borders, the ridiculous stuff that the laws are being passed, the COVID stuff, the economy that's been damaged. I mean, these are all warning signs. And if we're concerned about things like that, we should be. We very much should be concerned of the things of the world. But what does it mean? Does it mean we're concerned with the things of the world but not of God? Of course we should be concerned with both. We live in the world. What we're supposed to do is have Christ as the ultimate concern, the ultimate standard, and that we live in a world, we're not of the world, but we need to eat, we need to work, we need to pay our bills, we need to be concerned with those things. But Christ is the Lord over all of them, and that's how we need to have that attitude. So you see, it's just not an easy thing to say, it all means this, or all people that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I ask you one quick question again?
Also, sure, we got nobody waiting, so go ahead.
Okay. You know, the Bible says, pray for your enemies, right?
Yes.
You know, those who despise you, they defuse you. Now, so what about Satan? He's my enemy. Should I pray for him?
No. No. When you talk about praying for your enemies, those who persecute you, he's talking about people, not talking about the enemy of the gospel, Satan. Okay? You can never pray. Praying for him is a waste, all right? But you can pray to the Lord about him. You pray to the Lord, say, Lord, would you please bind the evil one, etc., etc. A lot of Christians make a huge mistake in their prayers. They'll start praying to Satan, and they'll address him. You, Satan, I'm telling you, get away from me. You this, you that. You don't be praying to Satan. That's a prayer, and it's to Satan. Don't do that. People don't, you know, I hope people are driving down the road going, I never thought of that. What they should do is pray to Christ. May the Lord rebuke you, you know. And that's only, you only address Satan and demonic forces if they're right there in front of you. You're not praying to them in that context. You're just talking to them. But even then, you know, I would say the Lord rebuke you. Be gone from me, evil one. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. It's all about Christ and it's all about Jesus. So whenever I pray about the enemy of the gospel in the demonic realm, I ask my Lord to, you know, whatever it is, send the angels or Lord, do the battle, whatever it is that you do in the spiritual realm, Lord. I put my trust and my faith in you. I ask you to bind the evil one from so-and-so-and-so-and-so, myself and the ministry, etc. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, when there's a lot of times when we have group prayers, and I'm not saying I pray better than anybody else. I don't. I know people who pray a lot better than me. I'm not gifted in that area. But I notice that sometimes we get into group prayers with people, and I'm not mocking any of it. I mean, it's praise God. And I think sometimes they forget to address the issue of the demonic realm. And so sometimes in a group prayer, you know, generally I don't like to pray too much in public. Not that I'm embarrassed or whatever. It's just people praying, that's good. I'm more of a private prayer person. But anyway, I'll sometimes add in, and Lord, please address the evil one and his ways and bind him from you know, whatever we're praying about, etc. And so I'll sometimes add that because I think it's something that needs to be covered in prayer. Not every single time, but you know, it needs to be covered. Okay?
All right, thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge.
Well, I don't know about wisdom. I got some knowledge, but I don't know about wisdom. You know, I talk to my wife about stuff. She doesn't listen to me, doesn't think I'm that smart and stuff. My abs are gone. She just puts up with me. So I don't know if I'm wise. You know, she's wise because she married me because I'm that great. Well, maybe she's not that wise. She married me. I don't know. It all depends how you look at it. Okay, buddy? All right, man. We'll see
you. All right, thank you.
All right, up there. Hey, folks, nobody waiting. We have a break coming up. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick. All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a good time listening. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Paul from Virginia. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to know if you are aware of the word pharmakia in the Bible.
Uh-huh. Sorcery.
Mm-hmm. Does it trans, Okay, so sorcery. So do you have any ideas or any knowledge around what part pharmakia would play in the times that we're in now?
Yeah, more and more. There are 50 to 70 million people in spiritism, which is a form of sorcery. Sorcery, the Greek word pharmakia, which has to do with drug abuse, altered states of consciousness, contacting the other side, the occult, seances, contacting the dead, witchcraft, spells, all this kind of stuff. And like I said, it's 50 to 70 million spiritists in the world. There's a growing number of probably 100,000 to 200,000 witches in America right now. That's on the rise as well. Now, this is important because when you, the more people get involved with demonic things, the larger the door opens. And it's a kind of a general rule. The occult often just needs a door. And we don't mean a physical door, but an entrance point. And so, for example, a Ouija board is designed to get a person to be involved in occultic, spiritistic, pharmakia kind of stuff. And so it becomes a door. If you had one person doing a Ouija board in a house in an entire neighborhood of 100,000 people, this is not like it's perfect and this isn't one-to-one, but I want you to get the principle. Then it's a small little door. But what if 1,000 people were doing it? Well, it's 1,000 little doors, so to speak, or gradually it's more of one huge door, demonic presence is enabled. Now, I'm not saying it's exactly like this, but this is a principle that when you turn to the occult and use the things of the occult, then that opens up connections to the occult. Back when I was involved with an anti-Satanist ministry, we had this, it was a really interesting situation where this guy who was the head of it, he called me up and he said, look, I need some help. I'm going to meet someone at night in a parking lot and he's supposed to give me some occult paraphernalia, like a wand, maybe a sphere, and some other things used in satanic practices. And he says, I want you to be in the parking lot and, 300 feet apart kind of a thing, and face him, and that I would flash the lights if any car came in from the wrong direction. This is what we actually did. And we watched, and the person never showed up. But the point is that he was going to grab or get a hold of these instruments and remove them because there can be demonic attachments to things, to objects. There can be demonic attachments to a household if they're involved in a cult, like praying to a false god, like the God of Mormonism or the God of Jehovah's Witnesses or the God of Islam. And so in these practices, more and more occult doors are opened. And so how does pharmakia, sorcery, which they're not, see, these people are not trying to be into sorcery directly. They just don't know they're involved with demonic things. Ultimately, the God of Mormonism is demonic, as is Jehovah's Witness, as is Islam. And so they don't know this. They don't believe it. And yet they're praying to these false gods. And so the demonic realm is expanding. This is why we have so much more deception, why we have so much more evil in the world, an increase of evil of all kinds in the world. And it intimidates Christians. And so what Christians largely do is just want to hunker down on Sunday morning, and then they want to just relax. They don't want to deal with stuff. And that further means that there's a failure. I know I'm going a lot here, but I'll say one thing. Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I say to you, Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. What do gates do? Gates don't do anything. They sit there. That means that we, the Christians, are knocking down those gates. They won't overpower the kingdom of God. All right? So that means we are on the aggressive side, that we're praying against, we're speaking against, we're defending the faith. And unfortunately, too many people don't believe that, and so they get intimidated as the rise of the occult in various forms and demonic stuff increases. And it, so, long story short, absolutely yes, it's increasing in the world. And I haven't even gone to 2 Thessalonians 2 yet to talk about that, which talks about what you're saying.
Right, and so let me ask one other thing in relation to that. Would that translate in any kind of way or be connected to the absolute, what appears to be absolute power of Big Pharma and how they're okay. able to control the media?
Now, Big Pharma is not into the occult. At least, I don't believe any of their people are. I mean, you know, they're not out there having seances in their headquarters. But, and pharmaceutical medicine, they can be incredibly helpful. But the thing is, they have such great power that we know that the politicians are who are more interested in money and power will bow their necks to them. And receive kickbacks, insider information, and things like this, and gain a great deal of money and power, which has obviously happened if you look at some of the records of the Pelosi and others. And so, yeah, they have more and more power, and they're going to gain more and more power. I mean, think about this. The COVID stuff, I've studied COVID quite a bit. I've written over 30 articles on it. For example, the cloth masks are 3% effective. This is not me saying this. This is what the statistics say. The surgical masks are about 50% effective, and if you touch them on the outside, they're contaminated. And this is not me, you know, propaganda, misinformation. This is stuff that you can verify by looking up on the web. It's not a big deal. And I can take people, I can show them how to go to the CDC website and take the CDC information and find out how many deaths are related to the COVID vaccines versus all other vaccines combined from the CDC website. This information's out there, but the news media doesn't want to promote it. Why? Why is it the news media is failing to cover this kind of information? And, for example, I gotta say this. Hillary Clinton, that witch, she needs to be jailed for what she's done. And the evidence, that's right. And the evidence is coming out of how she paid people to infiltrate White House servers to get information against Trump, and the news media isn't covering it. Why not? You see, there's corruption everywhere. The corruption will continue. It will continue. And it's going to lead only to one place. If you want to hold on, we can talk about that more. Hey, folks, we have 3 open lines. Oh, man, I just accidentally hung up on it. Hey, call back, okay? Sorry about that. My bad. And we'll be right back. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, let's get back on the phone to Paul. Hey, Paul, sorry about that, buddy. Instead of hitting pause or, you know, hold, I hit, you know, I knocked you out there. Okay, so where were we?
Well, I'm just concerned because I was previously injured by pharmaceuticals many, many years ago, so I was very leery and knowledgeable around the corruption and the greed within the pharmaceutical industry anyway. But I never thought what I'm seeing now, with the extent of what I feel like is a corruption and a cover-up and just...
Yeah.
It's probably very complicated that they're able to, day after day, keep the narrative going when you have these many people that are dying or being severely injured or disabled by these shots. And I'll admit it, I was probably one of the better informed consumers, but even I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And I got the third shot in September, and it nearly killed me.
Right.
And so it made me look anew at Pharmakia and the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the Gates Foundation, and how they're carrying out what to me appears to be a plan.
Well, there's a lot there. I do know that statistically the vaccines have helped people, and they have saved
right.
lives, and that's a fact, and I admit that. But it's also the case that they've killed a lot of people. In fact,
right.
If you go to the CD, in fact, if you go to carm.org/COVID, you'll see a list of articles, and you can go through the articles. And maybe I should write an article. I actually wrote one. I forgot which one. And it tells you how to go through the CDC website to go where to go to do it, and explains what you do, and then you can run your own numbers. And so I've done that before many times. And, you go to wonder.cdc.gov/VAERS.html. And so I'm looking at it right now, literally on one of my screens, and I hit I accept, because you have to accept as something, and then I'm doing this. I'm doing this live right now. I'm doing this. This is what it says. And I'm going to, under the first thing, organization table layout, it's by vaccine. And then I'm doing all vaccines except COVID. There's a way to do that. You just hold down. I'm just right now live. And I'm doing every single location, every manufacturer, all events, everything. And I just hit go, which I just now did. And so what I'm doing right now, literally, right now, is running all of the events that have happened. All the vaccines, there's 870,891. Now what I'm going to do is go through, and instead of saying all events, I'm going to just limit it to death. Now what this is doing is it is running a test, running a search from the CDC website on how many deaths have occurred from all vaccines since roughly the 1960s. 9,524. All vaccines except COVID. I'm looking at it right now, 9,524. Now what I'm going to do is go back in and do just COVID. For the same, the only thing different is 9,000 was all vaccines except COVID, the deaths related, and now just COVID vaccine and 23,000.
Right.
So I just did this live just now on the CDC website. I can show how to do it on the screen. I can share the screen for the video for people. It's easy to do. Why is it the news isn't talking about this? It bothers me.
Well, that's my question. That's my question, because I even called my local news the other day because they have what they call a news tip line. And mm-hmm. I've watched this particular channel for many years, and I called them, and I just simply asked the person why they weren't covering any of the adverse events. They were advertising a vaccine clinic, and that's what prompted my call. I wanted to see what they would say, and I said, why are you not covering any of the adverse events that are taking place? And they hung up in my face.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even say, they just hung the phone up.
That's
this
right.
is local. So
that's right.
Like, even the local media in my area is not reporting on this. And I have a real problem with it. I have a very large concern, as well as other people that I talk to locally, the people that I interact with, that are wondering, like, it's like some huge cover-up going on.
Well, something's going on. I mean, why is it like that? Why is it the news media doesn't cover everything? It's
exactly.
It's a wonder, and you have to ask questions about it. You have to say, what's going on? And I've long ago stopped trusting the news.
I'd like to say one more thing before I go. There is a website called Real Not Rare, RealNotRare.com. RealNotRare.com.
Okay.
And I get one or two emails from them a day where people have been injured. And I'm in Virginia, and just the other day I got one from a 34-year-old woman who was in perfect health, and she was a business owner. These people tell their stories of how their lives were before they took these shots and then what's happened to them since. And it's just really, it's almost like you're in a catch-22 because, as you stated, apparently these shots have done some good. It appears that there's a lot of problems and they're unwilling to speak of the problems. And so, as someone who's been injured myself, of course, I'm very interested.
Well, what I did, while we're talking, I just ran through how to do this on the video. And I did this. Maybe I'll do another video and stuff like this. Now, what'll probably happen is, you know, they're going to penalize me or whatever. But here's the question. Here's the thing. What I did was go to the, this is the CDC website, and I went through their information and their reporting system. And all I did was extract information from them. And you watch, I'll probably get penalized for doing that. Now, why is that? You're making noise, buddy. You're making noise in the background. Making a lot of noise.
Sorry.
Okay. So why is it that the news media can't do the same thing and say, what's going on here? It has to do with money and power. And so when you take God out of the equation, people want money and power, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And because of that, we are in a lot of trouble. And it says that the arrival of the Lord will not occur until certain things happen. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The apostasy means a falling away from the truth. And now what's a commodity here in America today? Truth. It's a commodity. It is something that can be shaped, sold for the right amount of money. You'll say this or won't say that, what's presented. And this is in a form of apostasy, not just religious, but also of the very nature of the fabric of truth itself in our world. And it is being corrupted. And you can see that the news media as a whole does not present all of the facts. You've got to present all of it. And my question is, why is it they don't do this research, the same research I did? And I'm just a theologian. And I happen to know that there was a huge conference held by a senator just a few days ago. And they had experts with more degrees than a thermometer. And they were talking about COVID and vaccines and various things. And now the proof Johns Hopkins, I think it was, I'm not sure, did the study and release information. The masks are basically useless. Useless. And yet they're still being promoted. When the science comes out, when the data comes out, when the facts come out, it's the agenda. And you know that if the pharma can get people to stay scared and to get more and more boosters, they'll get more billions of dollars. And I did research on how much they make, and it's in the billions of dollars. And one last thing. I have a friend who works in an ER, emergency room. And I won't say where, and I won't say his name, but he took, because he had to. He had to take the shot, and he did. And he got sick. He had to take a second one. And he says, his words were, man, it almost killed me. I think he's exaggerating. But you could tell he was very, he goes, I don't want anything to do with this. He goes, why take a third one? It's insane. And he's trying to get out of it. He goes, I don't want to do with it anymore. It's ridiculous.
I don't blame him because I wish I had not gotten the booster because it's made me very ill. I've been hospitalized. I've had major surgery. I've been to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Learn how to do a health cleansing diet and look into periodic fasting. But hey, look, got to go, buddy, okay? All right. Hey, folks, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the last segment of the show, and if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Selena from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. My question, I have an adult child, and they're into same-sex attraction. And I've been praying basically since 2017 that every scripture, meditating, fasting, even though, I mean, I don't see anything breaking that spirit, because they're getting married June the 18th, 2022. And I spoke to my pastor. Everybody seems like nice a lot. But I know what the Word of God says. God does not condone same-sex attraction.
Let me catch up. You're saying, so you have a child in a same-sex relationship. They're going to get married?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm trying not to put things out there.
Okay, so they're going to get married, and your pastor said what about it? Just curious.
She said, just love them.
Wait. She?
My pastor is a woman. Okay, but when I approached my pastor...
Okay, hold on. First of all, she shouldn't be a pastor, and you should find another church, because any church that would have a woman pastor is not following Scripture. Flat out. And I can talk about that, and I can demonstrate it from Scripture. She's in rebellion against God. All right? I don't talk about that often. When it comes up, I have to say it. And she's a false person. She's a false teacher. Okay? She needs to repent. And I'd be glad to come out there, debate anybody on it, do a seminar on it out there on the East Coast. I don't care. I'd be willing to. I've challenged people for 17 years on the radio to take me up on this stuff. No one's ever taken me up on it. It's because biblically I'm correct and they're wrong. But nevertheless, what should you do? Well, believe it or not, I'm in conversation with somebody who has a child who is now transsexual, gone through the procedure, and wants to marry another trans. And in that relationship, it'll be of the same sex. So we'll give too many details. And so what do you do? Right. My recommendation, this is my opinion. I say I would not attend any such wedding because it would be lending approval to an ungodly and sinful act. Okay.
Is there any scriptures I could pray? Because I'm praying, meditating, fasting.
Good.
And everybody look at me like I'm dumb, like you need to get rid of it. But
no, you are right.
The adult is going to hell, and that is an abomination of God.
That's right. But you are right. You're right to pray and to fast. And you keep praying and you keep fasting. I remember hearing a story about, I think it was a mom, prayed for 27 years for her son to come to repentance.
Oh,
27 years, and he did. 27 years. So, you know, and I've got two daughters who are not walking with the Lord. I pray for them every day. And our job is to be faithful to the Lord and to pray, to not participate in the deeds of darkness and not approve of them. And yet, at the same time, to love them. And how to do that is very difficult. It is. It's difficult. But you need to find a different church. You need to find a different church. Okay? Women pastors are very unbiblical. Okay? So I'm just telling you. All right. Okay.
So my thing is, just keep, is there any particular scripture or I can pray this?
You're making noises in the background. It's difficult to hear you. You're a little bit muffled, so I'm straining to hear you.
Hi, is this better? Because I had the phone on the speaker.
That's better. Yeah, that's much better. Okay, it's much better. And so you want scriptures for what to do about your child?
To break that demonic spirit and loose them from that, because
Hold on. Not everything is because of a demonic spirit. Sometimes it's because people choose to sin and rebel against God. And so, there's demonic influences going on. What I would do is pray. You never pray to the devil, never pray to any demonic forces. You always pray to the Lord. and ask the Lord to bind them. So do that, and also ask the Lord to open their heart and to convict their heart. What I do is I pray to the Lord, please speak into her, my daughter's heart. Speak the truth of your wisdom and your love, and convict her of her sin, so that she would come to a place of repentance and grant her that. That's what I pray. Okay?
I'm praying basically that. There's a scripture at Acts 26:18, that our eyes be open. I don't know it word by word. Every day I've been just reading the Bible saying it, but that she be consecrated and come to the face of God. And I love my child. And just that when I try to talk, it normally I hit on major confrontation. So I said, Lord, just help me to hold my peace, because I didn't raise that child that way. Ever since they were born, I mean, I always been in church. I went before I even conceived her, I was saved. But I even had her, I had them baptized at a young age, and they lay hands on them at an age and in the church, because you take your kids to the altar. And but that I think some things happened and I failed to see, and I didn't think, you know, you think that particular, or your children got the same mind as you, but you don't, you see, but you tell, and they don't do as you tell.
Right. So I know. Trust me, I know.
They played sports and they got caught up into things.
You know, I understand, and my heart goes out to you, and you've got to continue to pray, just as I continue to pray, my wife and I continue to pray on a nightly basis for our children. They know that, too.
Okay.
And they come over our house, or one of them who's lost comes over to our house on a regular basis, and we love them. We love her a great deal. She knows that, but she also knows we don't approve of certain things, and that's just how it is, and we get along fine. And she knows, you know, as one daughter came to visit, there was no condition in which we would let her and her boyfriend sleep in the same bed. So that won't happen in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And she respects that, and because it's our house. And they weren't mad.
Right.
That's just what it is. So we need to stand for Christ. That's what we need to do. And if we compromise it because we love somebody, then what kind of a message are we sending? How much do we love our Lord? Okay, so it's serious, okay?
Right.
All right.
Right.
You keep praying for it.
All right. Thank you.
Just keep praying. All right.
I am.
And find a new church.
God bless if you can. If you can. I can't give your name, but my name is Taylor. Just lift up Taylor's child. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
Okay. God bless. All right. And that's right, folks. You heard me right. Women pastors are unbiblical. They're against Scripture. If you go to a church with a woman pastor, you need to leave. She needs to be rebuked. Jennifer from Mount Airy, North Carolina. Don't think we've had anybody from Mount Airy, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hello. It's me. I have been calling now about once a week for my boyfriend who is incarcerated.
Oh, okay.
And his question. Yeah, it's going to be a regular thing, I believe.
That's fine. That's fine.
On my days off of work.
Does he hear me when I say hi to him? Does he hear me when I say hi to him? Okay, good, because I'm waving, saying hi. We don't say his name and everything, but hey, bro, you know, waving to you.
He's grinning real big.
I'm sure he is, so praise God. Okay.
Okay, his question, he gave me four scriptures where Paul is speaking, or Romans 9:1, the part that says, I say the truth, I lie not. And Galatians 1:20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Another one, 1 Timothy 2:7, I speak the truth and lie not. And the last one, 2 Corinthians 11:31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. His question is, why does Paul feel like he has to say, or why does he say I lie not? I'm not lying.
Because he's not lying?
Is it just...
It's a Jewish
because
thing.
He's not...
Yeah, it's a Jewish thing. It's like, I'm telling the truth. Come on. You mean I'm not pulling your leg?
Okay, part of his personality.
Yeah. I mean, we say the same thing, you know, and I'll say to my, of course, what I say to my wife, I'll say, of course I'm, of course I cleaned all the cat boxes 3 times yesterday. You know, I say it like that. She knows I'm pulling her leg, you know. And
I say, for real?
Yeah.
For real.
That's right. That's
for real. I'm telling you that real. For real.
That's right. I have some friends, you know, I say to them, of course you're really smart, you know. And they, you know, they just, they, you know, they want to call me names. But so we all kid around. But what, you know, it's a style, it's a person. But in the Jewish culture, you know, it, it also says by two witnesses is something established. He says, I'm telling the truth, I am not lying. It could be just a Jewish kind of a way to say, look, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. And we have that today.
Okay.
You know, and so in some, you know, people say, you know what I'm saying? You know, or did you hear me? You know, I'm telling you the truth. Or truly, 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 I'm telling you. What do you mean truly, truly, truly? Why don't you just say truly? It's idiomatic, and it's just what's going on.
Okay. One quick more question. The lady before, and you were talking about, which I know women pastors are not biblical, but what about a woman minister?
Wrong. Bad. A minister, by definition, is someone who's in an authoritative position inside the church context. Women are not to teach or exercise authority over men, but remain silent, for Adam was first created. 1 Timothy 2:12-13. The very next chapter, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says he's giving instruction on how we're to behave in the household of God. In Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about appointing elders in the church. And if any elder is mias gunaikas on there, a man of one woman, a man of one woman, a husband of one, aner mias gunaikas, is actually what it says, a man of one woman. That's what the elder is supposed to be. And it also says that the elders are to receive double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. The word elders in Greek is presbyteroi, which is masculine plural. So we don't have this in English. We except say actor, actress, actors, actresses. Uh-huh. But in Greek, nouns, basically every single noun, it has a masculine or feminine or a neuter construction, and elders are spoken of in the masculine. And it says they must be men. And this has to do with the authority issue, federal headship, and the whole bit. I've done a lot of research on this, and I know we're almost out of time, but I formally challenge anybody out there on the East Coast or in Utah or in Ohio who thinks women pastors are right. We'll get you. I'll fly out, and we'll have a public, televised, recorded, whatever you want, live on the internet debate on the issue using Scripture. Okay.
Okay.
No one will take me up.
All right.
Because they don't want to have to face what the Word of God says.
They can't.
They can't. They can try. Everybody's no male or female in Christ. You know, Galatians 3:27. And I said, did you hear that ripping? Mm-hmm. The ripping sound of a verse out of its context being ripped out of context? So anyway. Okay?
Okay.
So there you go.
Thank you.
All right. All right. My thoughts on Les Feldick. Oh, that's right. I remember who that is. Sorry, Boyd. We don't have enough time. Give me a call tomorrow. We'll talk about them. Hey, folks. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.